Welcome back, Skrull Nation. This is Skrull Radio on Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. And for this hour, your connection to the world of writing and peer writing tutoring, we are brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, also known as the Aquobel. And you can check us out at depaul.edu/writing. Get your finals on. It's coming up. Not that I like to think about that, but I'm Ryan McQueenie, and I'm joined, as always, with Kate by Kate Harrington.
Hey.
Who's doing wonderful this evening, this morning.
You say evening a lot on this show.
Do I?
Yeah. Like more just, than a couple times.
The day is just blur together. So stressful, man. I just don't get any sleep.
Sounds like my life.
The parenting life.
Yeah. So we are joined by two very special guests this week, Kate Flom-Derrick and Matthew Pearson. And we're talking parenting and we're talking La Familia. Spanish. That was Spanish for family, I think.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Wouldn't it? No, never mind. I don't know Spanish. Sorry.
Yeah, me neither. So I took German in high school, which reminds me of the word of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Word of the day. Are you ready for a hint yet, Kate?
I am. I really need one.
Okay. So the word of the day is Mund, and it's noun, and it's Germanic.
Okay.
So
here's my Mund.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, maybe.
Whenever I think of a noun, I just think of a thing that I can physically hold.
Say, here is my...
Here's my noun.
Could be a person or a place, right? Person or place.
Person, place,
or thing. Or like a concept or...
Wow.
I know.
Well, but if it's a concept, I can't really go, here is my mund.
That's what I'm saying. So I could be completely using this word wrong.
Yeah, probably.
Give me some direction.
I'd
need a hint.
You know what? I'd say you probably are.
Okay.
Using it wrong. But yeah, if you have a guess, if you have any idea what a mund is, if you want to show us your mund, maybe? I don't know.
I think it's the mund.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I have no idea.
We're going to go along with it.
Your early guess was that it's the beginning, like Monday. Are we sticking to that?
Yeah, exactly. Like you could, instead of being like, let's talk about your introduction.
Let's talk
about your paper money.
Let me give you a hint. Let me give you a hint first, and then we'll see if that makes any sense, actually. So the first hint is just guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Guidance. I feel like the voice in Field of Dreams.
Right.
Guidance. If you build it, they will come. The mun. So text us if you have a guess, if that helps at all.
It doesn't help me.
Tip helped. 773-325-7341.
Or tweet at us, hashtag Skrull Radio.
Yes. Or Vine us at Skrull Radio Vines.
We don't have a Vine. Don't do that.
What? You don't
want
to.
I don't want people to accidentally go on Vine thinking we have a Vine. And okay. Be disappointed.
If you
and
accidentally wind up on Vine, I don't think it's too big of an issue because that place is great. But okay, let's get back to the topic that we're talking about today, parenting. Your kids don't Vine, do they?
My daughter's a Vine star.
Okay. I could see it.
I could too.
She's got the charisma for it.
Yeah, she does a lot of Vines about. How, like, you know, women be shopping and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Does she shop at such a young age?
I don't even think she knows what money is.
Okay.
She doesn't really have a Vine. Although that actually is not true. There are literally three Vines of her from when she was super little. There was a point at which, I mean, we were, like, all about putting her out on social media. Early on, she even had a Tumblr.
No way.
For real. It was... pretty lovely because it was the best way to share photos with the widest amount of people.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be on Facebook. And this is me being a little bit, anal about image quality. Tumblr didn't compress the images the way that Facebook does. So like my wife and I, it was before iCloud came out, was sharing between iPhones. And so that was one of the ways in which if my wife took a picture, I could get a high resolution version of it. And so
it was on Tumblr.
We would upload it to a Tumblr. Yeah. But for some reason, I mean, I think this is true of a lot of parents. At some point it became like more, well, she's getting older. Maybe at some point we should, once she has more volition, like she should decide whether or not
she wants a picture on the internet.
What do you get? Do you guys have a social media policy?
We do iCloud sharing, with our family. And then every now and then like once a day, she is featured on Facebook or Instagram. I obviously do it more than my husband does. I don't have too much of a problem right now of posting pictures of her or using her first name. I know that's a huge deal for some parents. I actually shared an article from, I believe, New York Times recently about a parent who was really up in arms about sharing personal details about your child without their permission. You know, they're not able to make that choice themselves. We don't care too much about it yet. When she gets older, we probably will rein it in.
You know what I heard is very spooky is that now Facebook has all these facial recognition things that they can start recognizing babies' faces and small children.
Wow.
And you spooky to me.
On Facebook, you can actually create a tag for your child who does not have a Facebook account.
Yeah,
so you and your partner can tag your child in those pictures so that when they grow up,
they can
connect to it and they'll have all of these images.
Wow. Oh, that Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Thinking of everything.
Such a guy. Okay.
So can I just say, if you want to go to zizijolles.tumblr.com to see it, zizijolles.tumblr.com, and each of the images is captioned.
We just dropped
from her perspective.
Tumblr bomb.
From her perspective.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I love it. Check out the Tumblr if you love a nice baby.
There's a picture of her wearing a hat, and it says, I wore a hat.
For the listeners out there, yes, it was a very cute picture.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think you guys kind of already touched on it a little bit, but at the Aquabble, we have what's called core beliefs, and they're kind of like these little phrases, like little one-sentence dingers that kind of really just paint the picture of what we stand for at the Aquabble. And so do you have that, like consciously or subconsciously have these kind of parenting core beliefs in your head that you try to stick to?
I feel like in my short-lived relationship as a parent with my husband, we're trying to, you know, navigate it, figure it out. And we try to be kind to one another and take turns, I guess, is, you know, the easiest way to kind of say that. You know, he has to get up real early, so I tend to take a lot of late nights. But every now and then, I have to get up early, and so he takes over that. So it's kind of understanding what the other person is going through and working through that together.
Yeah, I we have a similar commitment to being on the same page when it comes to like discipline or whatever. And so, I mean, we've had experiences where one of us said something that the other person didn't actually totally agree with, but because we're committed to being on the same page, we went along with it in the moment and then later said, okay, I wasn't that cool with that approach in that moment. And yeah, like keeping it really real about like whatever particular situations you're in, like getting up in the middle of the night if you have less going on the next day, or just whatever, one person happens to be more into one thing than another as a parent, and just kind of accepting some of that stuff. So like not equity in terms of every activity, but overall equity, like the work is sort of somewhat equal.
Yeah. Retweet.
Or even if like the child responds to the one parent doing something better, you know.
Oh yeah.
So my daughter likes it when her dad changes the diaper. So, you know, I got to relinquish that. You know, that's fine if he has to change those diapers. But the trade-off is she calms down for me in the middle of the night much more easily. So,
yeah, I feel like you guys touched on a lot of good ideas, like transparency of like figuring out who should get which job kind of thing, and like sharing the responsibilities. And I think we do that a lot at the Writing Center of figuring out, like setting the agenda, even in like written feedbacks, you know, like being transparent about setting those agendas, even when there's not a person to talk to. So we're seeing a lot of translation of Writing Center qualities in parenting. But is there anything in parenting that helps you with your job at the Writing Center?
I mean, for me, it wasn't so much a particular thing, but I mean, like Kate's alluded to, it's pretty hard work, especially early on. Although, like, our daughter actually was an amazing sleeper early on, and then since two has been more problematic. So there are nights, mm-hmm. like, you know, literally, I don't know, a few days ago where I was up with her many times between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. or something. But it's really hard work. And one of the things I've found that's sort of, I don't know if it's paradoxical, is having a child has made me more focused at work because, I mean, in some ways, some of it is, oh, I get to talk to adults. So, you know, that's fun. But I think also for me, it's something that I wanted to do my whole life. So it just kind of completed who I am as a person in general. So there was no like static or cognitive dissonance around like being myself. And so now, like, I had a kid, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a dad. And so that everything kind of felt right. And it made me feel more focused at work, even though in some ways I was more tired on given days and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So
I will say that. And I work with both of you 4 days a week ish, somewhere in there. Is I never see you guys, well, I won't say never, because we all have our ups and down days, but, you know, very rarely do I see you guys come in with the classic, like, parent exhaustion.
I don't think I've ever seen Matthew like that.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
You guys always seem into your work still, and you don't seem like things that have been going on outside of work are, like, bringing you down or, like, harming your work at all.
I think it's a lot of what Matthew was talking about, adult interaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That reinvigorates you, even if, you know,
you value it more than.
Oh, yeah. Even on my most tired days, like, just being able to have a conversation with other adults who aren't, you know, talking about poop or vomit you know, like, what, you know, dumb stuff like that. It's reinvigorating and it's a relief.
Great words.
Okay. Well, I feel like people who tuned in this morning just had no idea that they were going to learn how to be a wonderful parent. I'm like sold on the whole parenting thing. Like,
you feel prepared?
Yeah, I'm ready. It just takes 40 minutes of a radio show talking about it to get ready.
We're ready.
Right?
Well, I do think, I mean, I think that similar, you know, throughout the years that I've been at the Elk Wobble, people have done like improv and tutoring and the whole concept of like saying yes or accepting the offer or yes anding. I think being a parent is a lot like that. It is so much more fun when you're just like in the moment because, you know, you can like, kids can go anywhere, you know, with their imagination, especially when they get to be like, you know, two or three. And so I think that's a similar way in which, or that's a way in which the immersive experience I talked about earlier is true for being a parent and a tutor.
So we have covered a lot, and I wish I could just keep talking about this all day.
We'll have a part two maybe, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe we'll, guys, maybe we'll have like a reunion once you kids get older.
Once she learns more than one word.
Yes. Yeah.
Or like, 18 years from now. So how did it work out? Well, she actually can't be here today. She's in rehab.
So not well. We should scrap that episode.
We did everything we could.